You are listening to Covenant Eyes Radio, helping you to stay safe and pure online. In a survey done by Today's Christian Woman, over a third of their female readers admitted to intentionally looking at internet pornography. Today I'm speaking with Crystal Renaud, author of Dirty Girls Come Clean, a frank and honest book about the hidden issues of female porn addiction. Crystal speaks with us about why she wrote this book and how it will be a help to women who are struggling with this temptation.
So this book is essentially my story of addiction, the steps of addiction recovery as told through my story and as told through the stories of six other women.
Stay tuned to the end of the podcast to find out how you can win a free copy of Dirty Girls Come Clean. Well, Crystal, you've been a guest on our podcast here before, and you, a previous interview, you did tell us your story. But for those who missed that, I really want you to share with us a little bit about your story, especially it relates to the subject of your book. Can you tell us a little bit about your first exposure to pornography and how that affected you?
Yes, my first exposure to pornography was when I was only 10 years old. And I was at home, and I found it just one afternoon in my brother's bathroom. And, you know, being that I was so young, I didn't really know what I was being exposed to, necessarily. I didn't even know what sex really was at that point. And so to see this material, it kind of opened up this whole kind of curiosity Pandora's box for me that
right.
After seeing this material, I wanted to see what else was out there. And in doing that, I opened up myself up to just this whole world of perversion that ended up taking me places I never thought I would go. I ended up spending time there longer than I planned to stay, and it cost me more than I ever planned to spend. And it led me to becoming an addict to pornography as well as other sexual behaviors like masturbation and phone sex and other forms of non-sex, as you could say, as best I could and still remain a virgin. And that was kind of my journey for 8 years. From the age of 10 to almost 19, I struggled with that. And it wasn't until I found another woman in my life who had also struggled in that way until I was able to find a way out and finally tell my story as well.
Were there any other specific points where you can remember that were really big wake-up calls for you, sort of mile markers in the road that you look back on and you say, yeah, I really had a wake-up call then, or God really turned me around then? What were there any of those moments for you?
There were several of those, I think, and many of them I ignored. obviously, as an addict, you're kind of self-destructive anyway, and so you just kind of push through it even when you have big red flags in front of you. For me, I became a Christian in and amongst the addiction when I was 16, and that was my first kind of wake-up call that what I was doing was, in fact, sinful. So for about 2 years, between 16 and I guess almost 19, I kind of walked that fine line between, like, good Christian girl and then this other secret life that I lived, and just trying to marry the two of them, trying to figure out how I can live both. And it was just kind of this back and forth between times of sobriety and times of not, and just back and forth, because I really wasn't coming to the point of surrendering the addiction or surrendering what the addiction was bringing to me. I was always surrendering the behavior. And when you do that, you're not really finding any true healing. You're just stopping, you know, dead in your tracks, trying to do something cold turkey versus truly surrendering what is controlling you, which is the sin, and
right.
What I'm trying to fill the void with.
So the difference between just modifying your behavior and getting to the root of it, which for you was what?
The root of my addiction was intimacy disorder from kind of growing up with kind of an absentee dad. Even though he was around, he was always traveling, and we just didn't have a good relationship. And so for whatever reason, whether it was just how the enemy wanted to use the pornography, I'm not sure, but for whatever reason, it filled that need for intimacy and for affection, and on some level comforted me. And so I used pornography and this sexual acting out as a way to cope with what I thought I was missing in my life, when in fact, the only thing I really needed to fill that was my relationship with Christ.
And you said intimacy disorder, and I find that to be a curious phrase. It sounds kind of clinical, but what do you mean by intimacy disorder for those who may have never heard that term before?
I think for women, the clinicians have said, you know, that with sexual addiction among women, and even, I guess, among men, it's not so much about the sex at all. It's not about the fact that I'm looking at porn. It's not about the fact that I'm, you know, needing to satisfy myself sexually. It's truly an intimacy disorder on a very emotional level. And for whatever reason, whether, you know, there's all kinds of things that women use to kind of fill these voids in their lives. Some women, maybe they have an eating disorder, maybe they cut themselves, or there's whatever other thing they do in order to try to feel something, in order to try to just know that they have emotion, that they can feel something. They're in so much emotional pain that they're having to act out in a physical way in order for it to be satisfied. And I think, so that's why they call it an intimacy disorder, because there's so much pain involved that it's actually a disorder. It's an emotional and even a chemical level of brokenness within yourself.
And in terms of acting out in the realm of pornography, or in the realm of, I mean, you mentioned several other things, phone sex, I'm assuming maybe some cyber sex involved in that as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's probably one of the first interactions with people I ever had within the addiction was through cyber sex. And there's actually a statistic that says that 81% of women who are engaged in pornography will actually escalate their addiction to be in-person contact. Because we're so relational as creations, as women, we're so relational that we have to somehow marry our visual with relational. And so what you're going to find with women is that they're going to act out more with cyber sex. They're going to act up more with cyber sex, using these mediums to try to find relationships from these avenues, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so you're saying that you're saying up to 81%, you're saying, of women who struggle in this realm mm-hmm. are going to turn it into something that is interactive with other people.
Yes.
Certainly the problems that can arise from that are obviously very great.
They can be very dangerous.
It can be very dangerous, yeah. Mm-hmm. So in your ministry, you have you started this Dirty Girls Ministries a while back now, and obviously you've spoken a lot with women who've had this struggle. And I'm sure girls are exposed to pornography the first time. The initial exposure to pornography probably happens in a variety of ways and for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But would you say that this intimacy disorder, this intimacy issue, lies at the root of why a lot of women continue in gravitating toward pornography or are tempted by pornography?
I would say 90% of the time it is the root of it. Absolutely. And for whatever reason, this is the medium, this is the tool women are now using. I mean, it used to be romance novels. You know, it used to be that this whole world of fantasy they've kind of escaped to. And so now, like, even porn producers are kind of caught wind of that, you know, and so they're kind of creating porn kind of targeted at women that kind of have more of a storyline component to them. It's not just, you know, the guy at the pizza delivery guy at the door, and then you're having sex. It's actually, there's like a storyline. You build relationships with what you're looking at, and you actually yourself begin to put yourself into these situations that you're watching, and you're kind of hoping for that same thing to happen in your own life, and that's where it leads to the in-person or person-to-person interaction, because you're not quite getting your needs satisfied from what you're looking at visually.
And from your experience, does, especially from the women you've counseled and spoken to on this issue, has the internet been a contributing factor in how this has escalated for women today? Like you said before, it was romance novels. Today, pornography is actually being marketed to them.
Mm-hmm.
Is the internet a primary medium where women are seeking that out, or is it still through more traditional ways where they're seeking that out?
No, it's definitely internet porn, and there's what's called the AAA effect, and this is why it is for women. It's because it's affordable, accessible, and you're anonymous. And so you can use pornography, you know, virtually anywhere, anytime, and it doesn't cost you a dime because there's so much free porn. They're able to go online, no one will ever know about it, easily accessible, and they can afford it.
So for women today, as they're struggling with this, obviously you've had this ministry reaching out to women who are in this struggle for a while now. But now you have a new book out, or that is coming out here the beginning of next month. Can you tell us a little bit about why you felt a book was a good next step for your ministry to women?
Well, actually, the book was first. That's what's kind of interesting about everything was, I was leading recovery groups just very humbly, you know, in my church. I had like three women in my group at the time. And I just was kind of talking to these women who were struggling with pornography addiction, and the material we were already using was good material, but it was so just sex focused, and never really talked about pornography or why women use pornography as their acting out medium. And so I was kind of walking around a Christian bookstore trying to find something else. Is there anything out here for women who have this particular struggle? And as I was standing there just staring at this shelf of books for men, I just kind of heard God say to me, you know, Crystal, there's not a book like this for women because there's not one written yet because you haven't written it yet. And it was kind of comical. I was like, oh, okay, that's funny, God. Okay, well, that's really hilarious. But it turns out that's exactly what he wanted me to do. And so this book, Dirty Girls Come Clean, is essentially my story. It's not a biography by any means, but it's my story of addiction. You know, it's the steps of addiction recovery as told through my story and as told through the stories of six other women. And what we're hoping is that because it's a small book, it's easy to read, that women will pick it up and they'll begin to see, first of all, that they're not alone in their struggle. Two, that there's all these different stories that perhaps they'll read one that sounds just like theirs. And at the same time, there are discussion questions and reflection questions throughout the book about, you know, on how to overcome what they're struggling with. And ultimately, it comes down to your relationship with Jesus, because it is a Christ-centered book. And I want people to know that, because without Jesus in my life, without that relationship I had with him and good, solid accountability with a friend, I would not be doing this ministry now. In fact, I don't even know where I'd be now. So that's what the book is, that's what it's about, and that's kind of why I wrote it.
Well, can you give us a little bit of a preview of coming attractions here? tell me a little bit, pick one of the stories, not your own, but pick one of the stories from the book. Give us a little snapshot. What can we look forward to reading?
One of the stories from a woman named Jenny, and she is just a phenomenal woman. And she had an 11-year battle with pornography addiction, and it really didn't come to a head in her life until she was like 7 months pregnant with her second child, and she is awake in the middle of the night on her computer. Her husband's asleep. Her other child is asleep. And she is sitting there 7 months pregnant thinking, am I really going to bring this generational curse into my family? Am I going to keep doing this to my family? And so she finally just kind of had a breakdown that night and told her husband, hey, you know, I've been struggling with this pornography use. And he was like, yeah, I know. And she had no idea that he knew. But he himself was just very supportive of her finding help in recovery. And thankfully, she had a solid church to go to and people who could rally around her and help her find healing. And then eventually she found Dirty Girls Ministries and is now on our board of directors. So it's one of those things where you can see, you know, there's just brokenness in this woman's life. And all it really took was the opportunity to come clean about her struggle and surrendering what was really controlling her to Christ, for her to actually now kind of see what her true calling is. Because God never wastes an experience. And because she's willing to let her story be used, not just in this book, but in her own church and through being on the board of directors at Dirty Girls Ministries, I mean, her life and now those missed years and missed opportunities are not being redeemed, because God's out, you know, out there ready to restore us if we let him do that.
Awesome. That's great. Well, tell us a little bit about this release party that's coming up here and what people can look forward to with that, other than the great food.
yeah, the, release parties in Kansas City. It's with a lot of my friends and supporters of the ministry who've kind of been around and have watched kind of this whole book and ministry process kind of come to fruition. And in a lot of ways, this is the coming out party for us, for the ministry and also for the book. Those who kind of maybe want to take a look at what that event is like, it's going to be Thursday, March 31st at 7 p.m. Central Time. You can actually go to dirtygirlscomeclean.com, and we're going to have it on a live stream there. People are able to kind of hang out, participate with us there. We're going to do some book giveaways as well, so it should be a fun time.
You have been listening to our interview with Crystal Renaud. To win a free copy of her book, simply visit the Covenant Dies website at covenantdies.com/DGCC. Leave a comment in the reply box along with your first name and email address, and you will be entered into a drawing for a free copy of Dirty Girls Come Clean. Comments will be closed after April 1st, 2011. To learn more about Crystal and her book, visit dirtygirlscomeclean.com. For more of our podcasts, find us on iTunes or visit the Covenant Dies blog, Breaking Free, at covenantdies.com/blog. On that day.